Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested, and all thumbs up.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's Lisa.
And Tawny.
JK, it's Tawny. And
messing with me.
Yes, I love to throw you off guard.
You do it all the time.
It's fun. You're such a good sport, too. Thank you.
I'm an easy mark, also.
Well, and it's like, I'm an only child, so like, I treat my best friends like my siblings. So.
I love it.
So we're just gonna catch up. It's been a lot. We've had a lot going on this year, career-wise, personal-wise, and we've not really talked about much of it, some of it on the pod. So we just wanted to kind of touch base, and I have so much going on.
I know you've got to, because we're now in it. We're in the roll up. We're getting a book launch. It's like, it's going to be here.
Yes, it's coming up. So the book comes out in September. Pre-order links are in the bio, in the show notes, and September 19th, it comes out. So, you know, I'm in full on book promo mode. And that means walking around New York City with the physical copy of my book that I've received, yes. Which was so exciting to open that box and see 20 copies of my book. Like, it was like,
it's insane, right?
It's an insane feeling, as you know. It was so exciting. So, you know, I'm taking them with me everywhere. I'm doing like a little photo series.
World tour.
I'm doing a world tour. I went to Mexico. I did a yoga retreat and I took pictures. I had all of the girls that were on the yoga retreat. They took a picture with the book. And so that was like a little PR moment. I took I took my book to a Blink-182 concert.
That's the best.
And I held the book up. And so I have a picture of like Travis Barker on the big screen with my book. And I posted that on Instagram. Like, I'm having fun with it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the world tour is 100% correct. Cause our dear friend, Katie Mack, she's in Iceland right now. So I gave her a copy. She's going to take pictures of dry humping in Iceland.
Oh my gosh. That's perfect. I like the ice flows.
Yes, she's going. Yeah, she's going to do all the fun things with it. So that's exciting.
And Katie is the genius behind Fucking Sober podcast.
Yes. If you are looking for a funny narrative podcast about the first 90 days of getting sober, that's the one. Fucking Sober. I worked on the first season and we won a Webby, which is so exciting.
Amazing.
But it's such a different podcast because it's not like this where it's like people shooting the shit. It is a script. It's a scripted.
Yeah.
Like it's a TV
fictionalized.
Show. Yeah, it's a fictionalized show. And it's just, they're quick 20-minute episodes. So yeah, shout out to Katie Mack. Very excited to see what she does with my book in Iceland.
Yes.
And then another thing that I'm doing to promote the book, I've launched an advice column. So it's by newsletter. You'll get it in your email. We'll have a link. We also have a link to that in the show notes. It's called Beyond Liquid Courage. And it is a weekly advice column about all things alcohol-free sex, dating, and relationships. So that has been, that's been great. I've always wanted an advice column, and
you're
I
so
pitched
perfect
it. For it. I, you know, I've been pitching this, a sober dating advice column, for years, and I've had no luck. Even like as a career journalist with lots of editorial contacts, I've had zero luck. And so, you know how I am. I just decided I'm just going to do it on my own. I'm going to do my own thing. So I did.
After researching incredibly intently how best to do it.
Wait, say that again?
Like, yes, you did your own thing, but also, like, you, after researching very in depth that what would be the best way to go about this.
Of course, every decision I make is insanely researched. Let's be real.
True.
So yeah, every career decision I make, yeah, it's definitely researched, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. Our friend, another friend, Irina Gonzalez, who has been on the podcast, and she was also my guest co-host for a few weeks when you were unavailable. She's the managing editor, so that's really exciting to have another sober woman. We've essentially launched a publication, you know, and
it feels totally a publication. It's great.
Thank you.
It's on Substack.
It's on Substack. There's a free version. The column is free. And then there's a paid version. It's $5 a month. That is basically bonus stuff. It's behind the scenes interviews with people that I interviewed for my book, personal essays about the book writing process, the publishing process. So I'm really excited about it. It's a really fun project, and I'm able to continue exploring my favorite topic of alcohol-free sex, dating, and relationships on a weekly basis.
It's so great. Yeah. Now, how does it feel? Because it's hard to do something like that at the same time that you're doing all the book promo. A weekly newsletter, and I see, you know, it's a substantive, meaty newsletter. So that is a tough thing to do on top of all the 8,000 other things you're doing.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I'm enjoying it, and I'm making money from it, which is great. Cause mm-hmm. I need enjoyment, and I need money.
Well, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah. But 100%, it is a lot of work, you know, it is a meaty part-time job right now.
Yeah.
I would say I'm spending probably 20 hours a week on my newsletter.
Yeah.
And it's promoting the book, you know?
It's all great.
It's creating resources, which, you know, where you and I are both very passionate about. And it's helping promote the book. It's getting the word out about pre-orders. So,
well, the other thing too that I think you're doing with all of this, with your book, with your newsletter, and also we should talk about also like the events you've been doing. You're building a community of people who are interested in the growing number of people and that are interested in learning about or actually, you know, incorporating into their lives a way to approach sex, dating, and relationships that is more authentic without the need for any kind of liquid courage or powder courage or any, you know, any of those things. And there, it's not, what I love about this is that, you know, sometimes like, you know, when my book came out, like the book came out and then I went, you know, I went right back to work on the next day, right? I had a launch party and then I went to my job at the law firm and didn't really, there was nothing that was like, and now like somebody who liked it could sort of immerse themselves in that topic more of professional, you know, of substance use and mental health disorders and in, you know, the corporate world. I didn't have that. Like, this is so great because it is your book, your newsletter, your events, your whole thing. It's this podcast. We're inviting people. You're inviting people into a community of support and learning and growth in this kind of space that hasn't been done before. And I think it's remarkable.
Well, thank you. I'm showing a big heart right now. Yes. I mean, community is what it's all about, right? Like, it's right. Road Recovery, the nonprofit that I love. They always say the power of we, and that's what this is. It's the power of we, and when it's we couldn't do any of this alone. You couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do it alone. None of us can do this alone. Yeah, it's just, and thank you for saying all those nice things. It's, I recently did a sober queer mingle. This is the third one. We've done three now. So yeah, like speaking of community, my friend Dubs and I, we were talking about how there's no sober queer hangouts in New York. Like we were just looking for something to attend. Like just us.
Right. You wanted to go to a party.
We just wanted to go do something together. And we were just like, fuck, we're gonna have to start this, aren't we? You know? And they have they're a queer educator. They have a podcast called Thank You for Coming Out. And they're an actor, like improviser, so many interesting things. So we're like, okay, let's do this. We started it at Minus Moonshine, which is the only queer owned alcohol free bottle shop in New York. It's in Brooklyn in Prospect Heights. And my friend Axel owns it. And so like just got a group chat started with Dubs and Axel. Like, I guess we're starting it. It's a thing now. So we've done two events there, and then we recently did one with Third Place Bar, which is New York City pop-up alcohol-free events. So this was, you know, this is our first time collaborating with Third Place Bar, and we sold out, Lisa. We had, like, we maxed out. It was 70 tickets. It was packed.
You texted me that, and yes. I was like, holy shit, it's a Sunday night. Right. Like, and everybody, you know, it's summer. People are away. People are like, they've been out doing stuff all weekend. And a Sunday night that you sold out and had like a waiting list.
We literally had a waiting list. People are like texting me like, hey, like I didn't get tickets in time. Can you get me on the list? And I'm just like, whoa, this is so needed. Right. Like Dubs and I knew that this was needed. And so, you know, and people just were so grateful to have a space. Several people came up to me individually and then Dubs and I, and I'm sure Dubs individually, just like, thank you so much for creating a space without alcohol where I can meet other queer people. This is great. Like, we've really needed this. And it warms my heart. There was a couple at one of our events who met at our first event. They were like, we met at your first event and now we're going to come to all of your events together. It just like, it warmed my heart that these people are meeting in really healthy, organic ways.
Yeah.
You know, like mindful, they're meeting mindfully and, you know, it's not just sober people and it's, you know, it's like, there's in the Venn diagram of like sober and queer, there's the Venn diagram of curious, you know, the intersection of curious where it's like, you can be sober, curious. You might be questioning your sexuality, whatever. Like, you're welcome. You're welcome to come. It is just an alcohol-free space. And everyone comes in, everyone has a name tag. They write their name and their pronouns. And We did some conversation starters at first because it could be a little awkward, but everyone's just like Dubs and I are just looking around like everyone's having a good time. Like,
oh my gosh,
this is a thing. And then, you know, of course, me being the queen of self-promotion,
that is not true.
I have a marketing background and a business degree. I live for this stuff. So I was also at the event. I was also at a table with an advanced copy of my book. And I made a little QR code so people could scan the QR code and pre-order it right there. And that was really exciting to have people holding my book. You know, like people were passing it around.
Real.
And like, yeah, it was like that felt really exciting to it's real. It's real. And people are like scanning the QR code and I'm watching them place the pre-order. And it's like, people are buying my book.
Of course they are. Of course they are. It's like, it's a fantastic book and it's going to do great. And you're really like, I think the way that you're, like I said, it's not just like, oh, here, let me throw this out at you and walk away. Like here, I want to be part of this ongoing conversation. I want to be part of this community.
Yeah. And like you said, it's community. I'm curious your thoughts on this. So like I'm going into my author era, if you will, with low expectations. Like I'm not expecting a bestseller or anything like that. Like for me, a successful book is a written book, you know,
like, oh, it is 100%. Like,
I've already
achieved already.
Yes. Like I've already accomplished the goal, you know, and if people can find resource in the book, then that's a success. Like I don't really care. People are going to hate it. And I don't really care about that. For me, a successful book is a completed book and a book that provides assistance and guidance.
Right.
So I share that because I'm curious, what were your expectations like when girl walks out of a, I was just saying girl walks out because that's your Instagram, girl walks out of a bar when that came out?
I had zero expectations, you know, so the little tiny publisher in New York, and I had like, my whole purpose was, you know, to try and let the next person know they weren't alone. And really, all I cared about was that I was like, if this helps one person, because I know how profoundly in pain I was, if this can help one person like not be in that pain, I'm done. I've succeeded. And that happened, you know, like you're already getting feedback, like that this is great and this is helpful and this is what people, you know, they're learning and they're getting their, you know, your message is getting through and helping people. That once that happened, I was done. I mean, look, I got very nervous when it was coming out because I'm like, I'm sure people are going to slam it. But, you know, I still felt like, it just felt like the next thing I had to do. It really wasn't a question in my mind about whether I would put it out under my name or whatever, because I knew it had to have my name to be, you know, like raising my hand saying, this is me, this is what it looks like in the professional world. But you know, it was, when I got my first review, which was from Publishers Weekly, and it was really great. And I was like, okay, now I'm done. And like, you have gotten, as we know, that kind of review already from the credit, from the, you know, really credible market journal.
Yeah. So it's Library Journal. I got,
which is huge.
Yeah. It's, you know, and that was I got a rave review from them. And that was the first review that I got that was not from a friend, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, of course Lisa's going to leave a good review on Goodreads. Of course my boyfriend's going to leave a good review. Like, but the fact that this person whose job it is to review books, like for a living,
right.
they read so many books.
Yes.
And she had wonderful things to say about it. So that meant so much. And it was like, you know, at the most recent event, people
holding my book and reading it and telling me how excited they are about it. And that's ultimately why I launched the column, Lisa.
Like,
people would tell me, like, I pre-ordered the book. Is there anything I can read in the meantime?
Right, exactly.
You know, and so I was like, it seemed like the perfect time to continue to write about a topic that I'm passionate about and keep people excited about the book. You know, that's unfortunately.
But your mission is accomplished.
Exactly. Like,
even if you were done tomorrow, you put something out there that has already helped somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we know, we'll continue to help people. And that was what you set out to do.
We're doing it, you know?
So the rest of it is gravy.
That's honestly how I feel. Like, obviously, I'm super excited for the book launch and all of those things, but it really feels like it feels good to go into this with no expectations, you know,
because people don't, there's a fantasy that people have about becoming a rich and famous author. And that's just not what it is, unless you're like, you know, Stephen King.
And maybe that's what it is like, I'm so used to the journalist life that I know that we just don't make that much money. But the money
The
money can come, as you know, it can come from speaking opportunities, teaching classes, doing workshops, because once you write a book on something, you're seen as the expert on a topic. So, you know, you speak at law firms and law schools and you're able, and your book came out in 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're still
my book
like,
just turned 7 years old.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's old though for a book. It's old.
Well, but it was ahead of its time.
Well, it opened some conversations, which was really like beyond my wildest dreams. Like, if I wanted to make a lot of money, I would stay in my job at the firm. Yeah. You know, that's And which I did for like 3 years after the book came out. You know, I didn't leave until 3 years later. So, I mean, I was very fortunate in my work position that they let me, you know, work that way and be able to travel and do all that stuff. But, you know,
I wasn't taking money
from them then. Like, I was doing all that traveling and speaking while I was still working at the firm, but I was not taking money from other, you know, the firm was paying me. I was still working 60 hours a week. This is what I was choosing to do in my free time. So, and they supported me being able to do that. I didn't start charging law firms until I left my firm. But it's all very exciting.
It is exciting. And I'm very fortunate. I also had a very supportive day job, which I recently left early in 23. I was like entry level in a retail job. It was not anything like practicing law in New York or, you know, working in the law field in New York. It was more customer service, but they were very supportive of, you know, I took a leave of absence to finish my book. They're all like, everyone that I worked with was very supportive of my writing career. And that is so important in the writing or just creativity journey in general. You need people around you that are supportive of your artistic endeavors. And if that can come from your place of employment, that's even better.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. Oh, they were a very unique, wonderful firm. And they were like, listen, this is good for the profession. And, you know, we fully support it. So that was, I was very fortunate in that sense, too. So. And we've got other stuff going on.
We're going to announce something soon.
Hopefully soon. Yes, because we can't stand not being in collaboration on stuff. That is now going to extend. Yes, we're very
excited. Lisa and I are collaborating on another thing, and we're very excited about it.
New project.
You guys will be the first to know when
we
can share the news. But in the meantime, read Girl Walks Out of a Bar and
get and pre-order Dry Hopping.
Yeah, and we'll have links to Lisa's book and my book, and we'll also have a link to my newsletter in the show notes. And like I said, it's an advice column. So if you have any questions, you know, DM me anything that is under the umbrella of alcohol-free sex, dating, and relationships. You know, like I've some of the previous columns are about like, why is my libido so low in early sobriety? And how do I tell my date that I don't drink?
Yes. Huge. And,
you know, these are important questions. So if you have anything, anything that fits that under that umbrella, please DM me or email me, and I can address it in a future issue.
Exactly. And you also need to send me a link. You recently had a beautiful article come out.
Oh, I did. Yes.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Are you talking about Tracy Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah. So Tracy Anderson, if you're not familiar, she is a famous personal trainer, like a celebrity. She's Gwyneth Paltrow's trainer. Like she has like a very famous fitness platform. But anyway, she also has a magazine. It's a wellness magazine, and her team interviewed me about sober sex and dating and finding authentic confidence without alcohol. And that was so exciting to be featured in a magazine like that. You can buy it. It's the spring summer issue of Tracy Anderson, and you can get it at Whole Foods or Barnes and Noble. Or online. We'll include the link if you wanted to buy an issue online. That was like Nick came home a couple days ago with two copies of the magazine. He's like, I found it. Whole Foods and Barnes and Noble or online. And it's happening. Shit's happening, Lisa.
Happening.
You know, it's
totally happening.
It feels good because I've been talking about this topic of alcohol-free sex and dating for years and years, and people are finally listening, and it feels validating. Like it's a career validation, you know?
Yeah. And you can, you know, there's a lot of stress around putting something out into the world and how it will be received. And now you have gotten over a very big hump in putting something out there. And, you know, don't lose sight of that ever. Like anytime there's somebody, I mean, people said horrific things about me, about my book, about all that stuff in like public comments. I wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post about where's an addiction, and the comments were just so brutal and also wonderful. They were both. But you know what? I just looked at them, at the negative ones, and I was like, you know what? Anonymous person in your basement slamming me, you know, let me know when you publish a book and then we'll talk about it, you know? So keep the perspective that what you're doing is big and important, because it is.
Can I ask, I'm so curious, like, what would someone say that's negative about a memoir about addiction? Like,
oh my God.
Like, what was not comments, necessarily like, a specific comment, but like what? Yeah.
Well, I got called a snowflake a lot. Poor drunken snowflake. Because, you know, I was in a hard, but, you know, big job. I got somebody... Well, the best one, I mean, I got attacked personally that I have like an Amazon review and stuff, that I have no right writing about any of this thing because I never slept on the street and I don't know what it's like because I haven't had to sell my body. I got stuff like that. But the one that was like, you know, One of the things I wrote in the op-ed was I said, I did everything right, right? I got all A's. I went to the college, a great college. I graduated the top of my law school class. I was in law review. I did it all right. And somebody commented, she says she did everything right, but her LinkedIn profile says she went to Rutgers Law School.
Oh!
Yeah.
That is and savage. So,
it was savage. And I was so furious. So I'm like, oh, what this person doesn't know is that I have, through work, I have LinkedIn Premium. So I'm going to find out who the fuck has been looking at my profile. And sure enough, I found the dude. And I went to his LinkedIn profile. And it was like some, you know, guy, not didn't strike me as a great guy. And like started out his resume with currently looking for my next corporate law opportunity. I'm like, okay, so you are not working in your, you know, sitting in your basement throwing stones at other people.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of wanted to say, I still wanted to respond. It was one of the Washington Post comments. I wanted to be like, hey, Ken, thanks for checking out my profile. Let me know when you get your next corporate opportunity. I understand you're looking.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's.
But like, I kept going, I kept saying, it's, you know what? I didn't write this book for this guy. And I know that, you know, people are going to be people. And, you know, my husband often says, humans are a bad species. We're the worst. And so, you know, that's this the kind of stuff, like deeply personal crap that you can let roll off your back.
Well, like Depeche Mode says, people are people.
That's right. That's right. You got a music minute, babe?
Depeche Mode, people are people.
Ah, I love it. Okay. I'm going with, because we're talking about all the power of community here, I'm going with a little help from my friends.
Oh, that's perfect.
Always a good Beatles thing to bring up. So.
Yeah, we could probably put a Beatles song with every episode. Let's be real.
We could. Beatles minute. So, okay. Well, as my former boss, my mentor at the first law firm I was at, said to me, go forth and do justice.
I shall. I feel like you've anointed me.
You've worked like, to make yourself anointed. Oh, you did the work.
You're the best. I'm obsessed with
you.
I
love you. I'm obsessed with you.
I love you. Yes. And thank you all for listening. We love you. And check out Lisa's book, check out my book, all of the things. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.